Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. For boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet $100 and get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions do apply. We're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Final Four Watch Party. April 1st at 7:30 p.m., SGP will be at the Ice House in Los Angeles, so come hang out with the crew. All the info is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/icehouse. Howdy-o, degeneritos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 316. We're going to send this one out to Mac Attack in the SGPN Discord, because as I was getting ready to tape the main card show, took a quick peep in there, and he was saying how we need to make sure we have more Kurt Chase Patrick on this show because he went 9-5 last week, and he needed to tail some picks. So,
I like that.
Yeah, you gotta like that. So in that voice you heard, who likes that, is of course Kurt Chase Patrick. He is back for one more main card show, much to exactly what Mac Attack wanted. And then you're gonna also have to suffer through my picks. I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. I was only 7-7 last week, so maybe you're not tuning in for me, but if you are tuning in for Kurt, you just heard his voice there. We're both back to give you main card picks for UFC San Antonio. That's right, they are live in front of a crowd, and we got Chito Vera versus Corey Sanhagen in an absolutely insane bantamweight tilt at the top that we are, I mean, like, I couldn't be more thrilled to break it down. And Kurt, I'll ask you this. Have you just been, like, back and forth on this fight, like, 35 times? Because I had a pick, when they announced the fight, I had a pick that I sat with in my brain for, like, 2 weeks. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to deviate from that. And then in the last 48 hours, I think I've picked each one 7 times.
I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to tip my hat on which way I'm leaning, but I've been pretty steadfast with my pick throughout. I'm pretty confident in who I think is going to win, but dude, we were talking about it last week, kind of after we recorded. I was happy that I was going to be on for this show because I absolutely love this fight. It is so good. And I'm glad that it's in front of fans. We kind of talked about it in the last episode, but it's just this fight card with this main event deserves to be in front of fans. The fans in old San Antonio are going to be in for a treat in this one because this one screams just all violence.
Yeah, it feels like even if this goes to the mat, right, it can't be boring. There's no way this fight winds up boring. And for everybody out there on this fight card who is fighting for fight of the night, give up. Because these guys get to fight for 25 minutes or maybe less, but probably 25 minutes if I'm being honest. And nobody's bringing action in 15 minutes like these two are in 25. It's just an insurmountable task. It's like trying to beat Justin Gaethje for a fight of the night bonus. It's just, as people learned last week, just not
happening.
Yeah, it's not happening. So let's start to talk about some of these fighters who will be trying to take some of those bonuses away. One of them is, at middleweight, Chidi Njikiwani versus Albert Duraev. Chidi, bang, bang, Njikiwani. He is 34 years old, 22-8 in his pro career. He's 6'3" with an 80 inch reach that is going to put him at 4 inches taller than Duraev, 5 inches of reach. He's 2-1 in the UFC. He was 5-3 in Bellator, 1-0 in LFA, 1-0 in Contender Series, and he's got multiple regional championships on his mantle. Duraev, meanwhile, nicknamed the Machete, 34 years old, just like Njikawani. He's 15-4 in his pro career, 5'11", 4 inches shorter, 75-inch reach. He's 1-1 in his pro career. He was 8-0 in ACB before that, where he was their double champion, and he was 1-0 in Contender Series, which is what got him to the dance. Duraev going to be a slight underdog here, plus 135 to Njikawani, negative 165. I forced you to kick off the last one, so I don't mind kicking off this one. I'm going to start by taking Njikawani here. I know some people are fading the guy a little bit after he tuckered out in his last fight against Hobocop. But he just, like, yes, he tired out against Gregory Rodriguez, or Rodriguez, if you want to say the Brazilian pronunciation, Rodriguez. But he also split his brain open, right? Like, we saw arteries in Gregory Rodriguez's head. You know, he's deadly with the elbows. I think the reach is going to be miserable for Duraev. I'll be honest, I don't love negative 165. I thought this was going to be lined way closer than it was. But give me Njikawani, you know, getting him out of there early enough, or just, like, keeping enough of the gas tank to win enough rounds here. I like Njikawani in this one. How about you?
Dude, I'm not going to lie. Previous to his last fight where he got stopped by Joaquin Buckley, I mean, I was ready to promote Albert Duraev to, like, junior captain of the Smash Factory train. And then kind of came halting a little bit. Obviously, Joaquin Buckley is very solid, but was not that impressed by old Albert Duraev. I've always been a Chidi Njikwani fan. I love his love the way he strikes. But, man, I'm surprised that these odds aren't closer to even here. I think this is a pretty pick'em fight. You give me Duraev at underdog odds like that, I'm taking him. I think he's gonna have to get Chidi Njikwani to the ground. I think he is gonna have to take it late. We've seen Chidi Njikwani fade, but I mean, if he gets his striking going, it could get ugly for Duraev. But I'm gonna bank on Duraev getting takedowns, grinding Chidi Njikwani out, and I like the underdog odds there.
Yeah, and that's definitely the path he's going to have to take. You know, I'm a little bit wondering whether or not he can do so with enough consistency, but he's definitely got to make this a dogfight in order to win. And if you look at his last couple of fights, he's got takedowns over Roman Kopylov, which helped him win that fight. He did score 2 takedowns against Joaquin Buckley, although he shot 9, and of course his eye got pretty jacked up en route to those takedowns. But maybe not the most... Maybe not the best percentage when it comes to Duraev in terms of takedowns, but the persistence is there. He's not shying away from what he likes to do. So, it should be a styles clash in that one. And before we get to the next one, let me tell you a little bit about WynnBET. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is now active in Massachusetts and a ton of other states. Be on the lookout for WynnBET's Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WynnBET Win Hour, marquee games of the week are going to have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is here. So many ways to bet on the big dance. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100. Limited to state availability. And of course, for our DGens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you're going to get a $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head on over to WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 years or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And the SGPN guys are going to be hosting a Final Four watch party at the historic Ice House in Pasadena, California, Saturday, April 1st at 7:30 p.m. Get all the details at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/icehouse. And if you're looking to hang out with Sean and Ryan even more, you can do so at Stadium Swim to watch the biggest golf tournament in the world. You can win a 3-night stay at the Circa Las Vegas to hang with the guys. There's a contest that is completely free to enter at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/golfparty. And if you don't win the contest and you still want to get a great discount on a room, you could do so with the promo code SGP15. All right, let's get us back to the fights. We are moving now to some flyweights, which is this card low-key. It's like a kind of a ton of flyweight fights. I love that because flyweights always bring the noise. We're talking about Alex Perez versus Manel Cape. Alex Perez, 30 years old, 24-7 in his pro career. He's 5'6" with a 65.5-inch reach. He's going to be an inch taller than Cape, but 2.5 inches less reach. 6-3 in the UFC. Of course, one of those losses was for the title. He was 1-0 in Contender Series before that. He's lost two in a row. The aforementioned loss in the title fight to Davison Figueiredo. He last won a fight in June of 2020, which is perhaps a little alarming. He's going to be fighting Manel Starboy Cape, who is 29 years old, rather, 1 year younger than Perez. He's 18-6 in his pro career, 5'5", 68-inch reach. He is 3-2 in the UFC so far. He lost his first two, has won 3 in a row. He was 6-3 in Ryzen before that. He was the 135-pound champ in Ryzen. And he's going to be a slight favorite here. Negative 175 for Cape to the plus 145 of Perez. I'll turn it over to you for the first one here, Kurt. Who you got in this one?
I love this fight, man. And when Manel Cape got signed to the UFC, I was like, all right, this guy is going to be champion. And then I thought he beat Mateus Nicolau, but obviously he started off with two losses on his record. I thought he didn't show until like late in the fight kind of what he was about against Pantoja. I thought he kind of just, I don't know, maybe it's like octagon jitters or
he
whatever.
He was coaxing. It was like, I feel like this is going well, so I'm not going to push it.
Yeah, and again, like, Pantoja, who probably deserves a title shot, like,
definitely.
The dude is there, and I'm glad that he's finally getting a guy in Alex Perez, who is ranked number six right now. I think this is the step up that he needs. Give me Manel Cape here. I really like his wrestling. I like his striking. I think he's explosive. And again, I think Alex Perez is a great test for him. I think he's going to win this one and then position himself to finally make that title run that not only myself was expecting, but I think a lot of people were expecting out of him coming out of Ryzen.
I 1,000% was. I was all over this guy. I thought he was bona fide going to be a champ. And it's, you know, you mentioned you like his wrestling. A lot of people talk about his hands or his flying knees or whatever. This guy took Pantoja down twice.
Yeah.
And Pantoja's not easy to dominate in the grappling department. So, like, even when he was that, like, lackluster version of himself, he was showing signs. And in all of his last three fights, he scored a knockdown of his opponent. Two of them he's finished. Like, man, dude, he's got explosive hands. He's got all the wrestling. And it's not going to hurt fighting a guy on damn near a three-year layoff. And you know, no offense to Alex Perez. The health just hasn't been there for him. And like, there's going to be some rust in there for him. And the fact that this is not at negative 200 or better yet kind of shocks me. So, yeah, give me him all day and twice on Sundays. And that's going to bring us to, unfortunately, two fighters who I do not usually ride for, but they are fighting each other. So I'm going to have to ride for one of them. And that is Andrea KGB Lee versus Macy, the future barber. Which I still consider to be one of the funnier nicknames, because if you just say the nickname in the last, she's just the future barber. Like, she's going to give up fighting and get really into hair artistry. Enough joking about my least favorite fighter. And let's talk about Andrea Lee first. KGB, 34 years old. She's going to be 10 years older than Macy Barber, 13-6 in her pro career. She's 5'6", 69.5-inch reach. She's going to have a 4.5-inch reach advantage and a 1-inch height advantage. She's been 5-4 in the UFC. She was 4-2 in Invicta, 2-0 in LFA, where she was the champion. Barber, meanwhile, 24 years old. She's 11-2 in her pro career. Inch shorter, 4.5-inch reach disadvantage against Lee. 6-2 so far in the UFC. She was 4-0 in LFA, 1-0 on Contender Series, and she used to fight down at strawweight. KGB, despite being the more wily veteran in this fight, plus 220 underdog. Macy Barber, negative 275. Who you got in this one, Kurt?
I got Macy Barber. I think she's a little bit more well-rounded than Andrea Lee. I just don't think Andrea Lee has panned out. She doesn't have a lot of power. I think her striking has been, I don't want to say exposed, but I just don't think, you know, stepping up in competition, it's been as good as a lot of people, probably myself included, thought. Give me Macy Barber here. I think she's going to have the tools to get it done. And, you know, she's still going to be the youngest champion ever, right?
I think now that's
I know it passed. It was a bad attempt at a joke.
No, it was a good attempt at a joke.
Listen, I had a couple of jokes lined up. I was gonna ask who like is gonna scream, you know, the shrill high more her Holly Holm.
God, it's not just the yell that bothers me about Macy. So I should go on record on saying what I dislike about Macy Barber. It's not the yell. It's not the blind, I'm going to be the youngest champion, because if I'm going to be mad at that, I got to be mad at Mohamed Bakayev in the same way, and I'm not. It's the fact that she took the mic out of Roxanne Modafferi, the nicest woman in the history of MMA. She took the mic out of Roxy's mouth after Roxy beat the shit out of her. Like, Roxy, a Massachusetts legend, beat the tar out of Macy Barber, and she's like, hang on, I know you're talking to Joe Rogan right now, but let me borrow this mic to make an excuse for why I lost this fight and still tell you I'm going to be back and be the champion soon. And like, that to me is unspeakable. It's unspeakable to do that to Roxanne Modafferi. And despite all of my hatred here, I'm still taking Macy Barber, because look, she's faster than Andrea Lee. You know, like, I worry about Macy Barber against any fighter she can't just like body up. And I don't even know that that's Andrea Lee anymore. Like, I used to think Andrea Lee's like physical gifts were going to like help carry her through some things, but I don't know. She's just kind of like shown that she has like lapses in her judgment, or she gets taken down when she shouldn't get taken down, or like there's just little bits and pieces that I worry about across the board. So yeah, give me Macy Barber. I'm not going to feel good about it, but give me Macy Barber. And that brings you can laugh at that if you want. It's such a you're with me on the Roxy thing though, right? Like, why would anybody course. You can't be mean to Roxy Modafferi. She's a saint.
No, she is.
And she's too good natured to tell her to F off in the middle of her post fight interview. So shout out to Roxanne Modafferi. We should have dedicated the episode to her. Now, before we get to the last three fights, as well as our lock dog and parlay, or lock dog and prop rather, and our underdog parlay, let's talk about Underdog Fantasy. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is heating up for March Madness. The College Pick'em is a great way to get in on the action, especially if your bracket is busted after day one. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has all your favorite college player props. Head on over to UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code SGPN for an 100% deposit bonus of up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let us now break down a couple of featherweights. Nate the Train Landwehr is fighting Austin Lights Out Lingo. The Train, 34 years old. He is 16-4 in his pro career. He's 5'9" with a 70.5-inch reach, 3-2 in the UFC so far. He was 5-0 in M1 before coming to the UFC, where he was their featherweight champion. Austin Lights Out Lingo, 28 years old, 9-1 in his pro career. He's going to be an inch taller with a half-inch reach disadvantage. So virtually identical there, as Mike Goldberg likes to say. 2-1 in the UFC. 6-0 in LFA before that. He's been out, though, since August of 2021. So it has been a little while away, almost a year and a half, almost 2 years, actually, moving in on for Lingo. He's going to be the plus 200 underdog here to Landwehr, negative 250. I think I made you go twice in a row first, but I'm going to take Lingo. And I'm kind of, I've been back and forth on this one a couple of times. Lingo really disappointed me in his Octagon debut when he lost to Yusef Zalal. He got taken down a bunch. He looked like he couldn't get back up. Since then, he's rebounded. He looked good against Jacob Kilburn. He looked good against Luis Saldana. He knocked both those guys down with his strikes. They kind of stood in front of him too much, and he could pop a little bit. I think it was Octagon jitters in that debut, and also it's long ago enough now that like I can kind of forget about it. That was on Jones versus Reyes was how long ago that fight was. So yeah, so it's been a while. And like, look, the problem with Landwehr for me is always that like he's hittable, right? Like he's very easily hittable. Onama hit him. Julian Arosa knocked him out. Herbert Burns knocked him out. Like, I don't know that Lingo's got some kind of like crazy power in his back pocket, but at plus 200, I'm willing to find out. So give me Austin Lingo as the dog here.
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go Landwehr, man. I like that dude. He is like all action. He's fucking hilarious on the mic. You know, I mean, the guy comes in to bang. Like, he's another guy that, like, you're going to be entertained when you watch a Nate Landwehr fight. And he makes, like, grappling pretty entertaining, too. This is another one where I'm kind of surprised that the odds are so far apart.
I think it's got to be the layoff, right? It's got to be the layoff.
Yeah. Agreed. I'm going to go Nate Landwehr here. I think he is going to be able to grind out a decision and say something absolutely crazy on the mic.
I will also tell you, so I've interviewed him once before, and it was being published as an audio interview, but we were on video while we were doing it. And he was sitting in a room that had just like a bright red light on everything. And at first I thought it was his camera, and then the light flickered and his like face was like normal for a second. So like he made the conscious choice to turn on like a bright red mood light while he was doing this interview. And like afterwards, I was like a little bit upset because I was like, man, that probably would have done a lot better as a video than it would the audio medium. But nobody will ever know he's saying all this weird shit in a bright red light. All right. So let us get to women's bantamweight in the co-main event here. Some names you've heard of before, actually one you've heard of before and one that might be new to some of your ears. So the first one, Holly Holm, the preacher's daughter. She's going to be fighting Yana Foxy Santos, who you might have previously known as Yana Kunitskaya, but she will be going by her new married name for this fight. Second week in a row, we've got one of those. She is let's start with Holly Holm first. Holly Holm, 41 years old. She is 14-6 in her pro career, 5'8", 69-inch reach. All of those things exactly identical to Yana Kunitskaya. They're both 14-6, both 5'8", both 69-inch reach. Holly Holm, on the other hand, though, is 7-6 in her UFC career. She was 1-0 in Bellator before that, which I only found out while doing research to host the show. I did not know she had fought in Bellator, but she did. And, of course, she was a UFC champion before this fight. Santos, on the other hand, she's 4-3 in her UFC career. She was 1-1 in Invicta before, where she was the champ. She also fought for the UFC title in her UFC debut, where she lost to Cyborg. I made you double down, so I'll go 2 in a row here. Holly Holm, all day, every day. Yana is just like we saw Holly Holm lose that last one against Ketlin Vieta, and we also saw her, like, you know, struggle a little bit with Raquel Pennington. But, like, at the end of the day, like, Yana's not going to outstrike her. Yana's not going to body her. Like, I don't care if Holly Holm is 41 at this point. I'm still picking Holly Holm at negative 250. So that's my pick. I'll take the preacher's daughter. She just outpoints her for 15 minutes. How about you?
I actually thought she looked pretty good against Ketlin Vieira. In fact, I thought she won that fight. Again, very close fight, split decision. I thought she won. Yeah, man, I just think she's more well-rounded. She's got more tools. And again, this fight is probably going to take place primarily on the feet. Give me Holly Holm all day. I think she's going to stay at range. And big question is, does she get another title shot after this win?
I mean, that'll make it 3 out of 4. Right? It'll make it 3 out of 4 for her. So let's give her a featherweight title shot. What do you say?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, she's probably the number one featherweight contender right now. You know, I will say at this point in time, there is enough people in this division that you have to be like, well, maybe not. Like, right, like Irene Aldana seems like she's in position, right? Like it seems like Irene Aldana makes a lot of sense as the next title challenger. It's too bad Ketlin Vieta lost to Raquel Pennington, because that really would have clinched her as the next one up. So it seems like Aldana, you got Juliana Pena kind of like sitting there looking for the trilogy. I don't know that this will get her another title fight, but damn if she won't be close. So yeah, but anyway, we're both in on Holly Holm here. So that brings us to what we all came here for, which is the bantamweight tilt in the main event between Marlon Chito Vera and Corey Sandhagen. Chito, 30 years old, 22-7-1 in his pro career. He's 5'8". He's going to be 3 inches shorter, but he's actually going to have a half inch reach advantage over Corey Sandhagen because of these long arms. He's 14-6 in the UFC. I can't believe I'm saying this. 1-0 on the Ultimate Fighter. He's on a 4-fight winning streak, including knocking out Dominic Cruz with a brutal kick in his last fight. Sandhagen, meanwhile, 30 years old, 15-4 in his pro career, 5'11 at bantamweight. He's going to be 3 inches taller. 8-3 in the UFC, 2-1 in LFA before that. He's coming off of that TKO doctor stoppage over Song Yadong. The odds, if you're out there looking for him, Marlon Chito Vera, slight dog, plus 140. Corey Sandhagen, negative 165 on the favorite side. Who are you picking in this one, Kurt?
I am like, I got to say, I'm like shocked. And again, this is no slight on Corey Sandhagen, but I'm shocked that Chito Vera is a dog here. I figured this fight would be pretty damn close to pick him. I'm going Chito, man, with relative confidence. I mean, he's on a four fight win streak. The only guy that really, you know, gave him the business was Jose Aldo, and you know, I don't think Corey Sandhagen is going to be able to play that type of game that Jose Aldo did. If you remember, Jose Aldo was taking Marlon Vera down and kind of holding him down, controlling position. Dude, Chito is just so dynamic. I mean, this fight is just so good. But I think Chito, and dude, he's got the ball rolling right now. His striking is just so crisp. He is a good grappler. He is durable. He's tough as nails. There was one of those stats not too long ago. I believe it was three guys, John Jones, Chito Vera, and I believe Max Holloway, that in like, I mean, Chito's fought, what, 21 fights or something in the UFC? 20 fights? Never been knocked down. I mean, the guy just has a granite chin. Give me Chito Vera, and give me him inside the distance.
That's, you know, here's the thing. When this fight got posted, and I think I mentioned this earlier in the episode, when this fight got posted, I was Corey Sandhagen. I was like Corey Sandhagen all day. He's just like been in there with better dudes. He's looked better in some of those fights, all that kind of stuff. The more and more I got thinking about it, and somebody posted in our Discord, and this is why you have to join our Discord. Join it if you haven't already, if you're listening to this podcast, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Somebody pointed out, these are guys who don't get finished. They just don't get finished, right? This is probably going to go the distance. And really, like, you know, not that they're not both killers, but if you look at the recent finishes, like, we can make up excuses for a lot of them, right? Dominic Cruz finish. Like, Dominic Cruz is 150 years old right now. Frankie Edgar, front kick to the face. Like, yeah, Frankie Edgar is getting knocked out. Are you surprised in 2021, which is when it happened? The Sean O'Malley one was weird. Those are the last three finishes out of Chito, right? Not a lot of finishes over the last 3 years. If you kind of think about the fact of like how those happen, you could say the same thing with Corey Sandhagen's finishes, right? The doctor stoppage of Song Yadong probably wasn't going to get stopped. And then the only other two people he's knocked out recently were Frankie Edgar and Marlon Moraes, two guys whose brains are made of cottage cheese at this point. So like, these are not guys who are out knocking everybody out. They're out knocking out select people, and neither has ever been finished, right? Neither, with the exception of the fact that Aljamain Sterling backpacked Corey Sandhagen in like 30 seconds. Apart from that, neither of these guys have ever been finished. So then you have to ask yourself, if this fight goes to the distance, who is going to come out looking good in this fight? And the answer is almost always the dude who hits like a truck. And if the answer to this is clearly Chito Vera, right? Chito Vera hits harder than Corey Sandhagen. Corey Sandhagen might outland Chito, but the moments of this fight we're all going to remember are the ones where Cheeto's landing. And I think that that's the difference maker for me. So I flip-flopped on the pick. I'm also going Chito Vera on this one. And the fact that he's dog money, yeah, even better. Because I thought this would be a pick-em. Or, you know, I would have been surprised if Chito wound up being the favorite because he's such a, you know, he's both a fan favorite. And like you said, he's on a crazy roll. So,
I thought Chito was going to be the favorite, honestly.
Yeah, or at least like close enough, right? At least close enough. So That does it for our main card breakdown. Let me give you the picks real quick, and then we're not going away. Do not worry. We are not going away. We are going to give you our lock, dog, and our prop, and then we'll wrap it up with the Hungry Man Jong Superfan Parlay. So first, let's run down those picks. We're both in on Chito Vera. We're both in on Holly the Preacher's Daughter Home. I'm in on Austin Lingo as a big dog. He's on Nate Landwehr. We're both in on Macy Barber. We're both in on Manel Cape, and we differed. He took Albert Duraev as a slight dog, and I took Chidi and Jaquani on the chalk. So that does it for our main card breakdown. So let us get into lock, dog, and prop. I think it's your turn to kick it off with the lock. You're going to right the ship here this week, Kurt.
Yeah, my lock, I hope so. I think I'm, 0-2 in locks right now. My lock is going to be Holly Holm. I just think that she has the goods. She's going to be able to get it done. I just think she's probably better everywhere than Yana Santos. So, yeah, give me Holly Holm with the lock here this week.
Those are the closest odds you've picked on a lock so far, too, which is crazy.
Agreed.
Yeah. I like Holly Holm. I'm actually going to go with odds that are even a little bit closer to even on this one. I'm going to go with Manel Cape. I like Manel Cape for my lock this week, negative 175. It's one of those picks where I like the odds a ton. Like, I can't believe his odds are here. But I also, I think I like the fighter more than I even like the odds. Like, I think that in this fight against a guy like Alex Perez, I just can't imagine Perez getting his wrestling going enough to matter here. I think Cape's going to starch him on the feet. And I think he's going to get everything going. So give me Manel Cape here, minus 175. How about your dog, Kurt?
My dog, I'm going to go with, I kind of want to go Chito Vera, but I'm going to go with Albert Duraev. I think that, again, like I had him kind of like in the driver's seat of the, Smash Factory train. Wasn't the case in his last fight, but I think he is going to be able to get takedowns when he needs, which I think he is going to need, and I think he's going to be able to grind out a win over Chidi Njikwani.
I like that one. I'm bouncing between two. Which ones do I go with here? I'm going to go with Tamiris Vidal. I'm going to go with Tamiris Vidal on the... No, I'm going to scratch that. Scratch that. Give me Chito. I'll take Chito Vera. Yeah. You know what? And I'll tell you my thought process on switching on that one. So everybody who's out there listening and is like, wait, when does he not like Vidal anymore? No, I still like Vidal. I think I'm trying to get too cute here by being like, should I not pick the guy in the main event? But like, Vidal is just kind of still unknown enough to be like, if I lose on that one, I'm going to feel like it wasn't a bad read, but it was me trying to jump in on a dog early in the card. Whereas like, at least if I lose on Marlon Vera, it's a bad read. Because I know everything I like about him. I know why I think he's going to win. So, yeah, give me Chito Vera plus 140. I like him on this one. All right, let us get to everybody's favorite part, which is props. Also, get in on our props contest if you have not already. You can check that out in our Discord or on our Twitter account. And it's the last week to get in, so please do. And if you were doing so, you might pick a prop that sounds like this.
Is this me?
Yeah, this is you.
Shit, my bad. You.
I queue people up so many different ways. Yeah,
you gave me a layup there, and I didn't.
Clearly not the guy who leads this show on a daily basis, and everybody knows it.
No, that was more me than you. You know what? I'm gonna go big odds for this prop.
Ooh,
give me Marlon Vera by decision at plus 600 right now.
Marlon Vera decision is plus 600.
It is plus 600 again. Like, so here's the thing with Marlon Vera. He tends to start slow, which could bite him against Corey Sandhagen, who is a pretty damn fast starter. But I think he's going to get the ball rolling by the second round into the third. I think both these guys are super tough to finish. It's going to be an absolute war. But give me Marlon Vera eking out a decision plus 600 odds.
That's low key wild. Like, I thought they would be way worse than that. That is, that's a tough one to beat right now. I'm thinking about what I had previously had planned and being like, do I just want to join that? Because that's...
Jump on the train, man.
No, I'm going to go with what I had before. I'm not gonna jump off the wagon. I'm going to take Vinicius Salvador by knockout. I had it before. I think he's going to get it done. We talked about him on the last show. I think Vinicius Salvador has got the hands to put Altamirano away. I think Altamirano is a guy who hangs out in positions he shouldn't hang out in. He's getting plus 160 on the finish for Salvador by finish. And as I mentioned on yesterday's show, if you like flyweight action as much as I do, finishes are coming in at a crazy rate in the flyweight division right now. So give me Salvador on the finish. Now, before we let you go, I got two more props that I really like for this week, but I'm squeezing them together as always in our Hungry Man Jong Super Fan Parlay. Two fights, two plays, at least 10-1 odds. And I use a little inspiration from Kurt on this one. So the first part, you know, Kurt mentioned how he liked Preston Parsons, how he liked the submission game. We kind of came together and thinking Preston Parsons is going to get a sub. Plus 275 on the Preston Parsons sub is not a bad line at all here. And you pair that together with Manel Cape, who is my lock of the week. I think Cape's going to knock him out. Get Cape inside the distance with a KO, plus 200. So if you pair Preston Parsons together with Manel Cape, it's KO, you're going to get plus 1025.
Like it.
I'm going to say either of those could replace my prop, but I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be on Marlon Chito Vera 6-1 on decision come fight time. So, and I advise all of you guys to do that, as well as here's some other things I advise you guys to do. Follow the show on Twitter at SGPNMMA. We always like hearing from fans in our DMs, so make sure you send us your bet and winning slips and all that kind of good stuff. Also, you can follow me at Gumby Vreeland or Kurt at KCPKO. As I mentioned, get in on the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Read everything that we write at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I got some NBA stuff up there right now, some MLB stuff coming later this week, so make sure you tune into that. Get in on our prop contest. Last week to do so, you have to be a plus 550 prop is the clubhouse leader right now. And let me tell you something, plus 600, although there might be too many people in on it now, plus 600 on Chito Vera by decision might trump all that. So make sure you get in on that prop contest last week to possibly do so. Hopefully we don't get a 7-way tie in that best prop. So with all that being said, this was your UFC San Antonio breakdown. We hope to be talking to you guys during the fights. Come Saturday, enjoy the fights, which we will, of course, be recapping on Sunday. Until that time, I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's Kurt Chase Patrick, and we will see you then.